Well, we want to welcome you back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, the counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor at Brookside. It's always a joy to join you for the beginning of your day, and I trust that the next few sessions will be a blessing to you and maybe cause your heart and mind to gain some wisdom and insight. I want to share with you as a counseling pastor the next couple of times, because as a counseling pastor, I have the privilege of talking with a lot of folks that are facing some very difficult times in their lives. And when we realize where we've messed up and we really need biblical counsel, sometimes we begin to realize, you know, I could have avoided this path. I could have avoided these decisions. And so the next couple of times are going to be times of considering things that we can avoid so that we don't have to experience the grief and the heartache. I would call it this set of Bible studies, hedges of love in relationship to our spouses, relationship to other believers. You know, we kind of need to plant some hedges of protection around our marriages, or whether you're married or not, around our heads and our hearts and our eyes and our hands. When we read the book of Job, we can see that Job was considered to be a very godly man. And it said that Job was a man that was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And that's the way the book begins, Job chapter 1 and verse 1. We see that he had a very godly family, and they got together all the time, and Job was constantly offering sacrifices and prayers for his family, even though they were gone and living in their own homes as mature individuals. But then a conversation took place in heaven. And not often do we have the opportunity to know what's going on in heaven, but in Job chapter 1, the Bible says that Satan appeared in heaven, and the Lord starts the conversation, and he says, "Well, Satan, where you been?" And Satan said, "Well, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it." And at that point, God introduces the topic of Job. He says, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil," or casts aside evil. And of course, God, being an omnipotent God, has all the power available to himself. He's an omniscient God. He knows exactly what he has just introduced, and he knows exactly what Satan will do. And sure enough, Satan comes back and says, "Well, you know, does Job fear God for naught?" Job's got his own reasons, because, "God, it's not fair. I can't get to him because you have put a hedge about him. You have put a hedge about him." In other words, Satan is desirous to get to Job, but there's a hedge about him that keeps him from being able to be attacked. And he said, "So therefore, you've blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." But he said, "If you'll take the hedge away and allow me to affect him and afflict him, you'll see what he's really made of." Let's think about that hedge. You know, the Bible tells us that, yes, God does give us protection at times, but sometimes you and I need to be the ones that provide a hedge ourselves. In fact, in Job chapter 31, 31 chapters later, Job talks about a hedge that he has decided to put around himself. And the hedge is one that has designed to cause him to think correctly about himself, about God, and about the opposite sex. In fact, he says in Job 31:1, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" Now, the word covenant means a pledge. So he made a pledge with his eyes. Why should he think upon a maid? The word "think" there means to diligently consider. A maid means a virgin. And so Job is basically saying, "I made up my mind one time that I'm not going to allow my eyes to diligently consider a woman, to watch and to lust after her." Because he said in verse 2, "What portion of God is there from above?" In other words, if I'm doing something like that, God has nothing to do with that kind of an activity. And then he goes on to say, "Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps?" He's basically saying, God is able to see my ways. Now, that word "ways" in verse 4 of Job 31 is the word habit ways. Habit ways. And so Job is saying, God is watching my habit ways, and then he accounts all my steps. That word count means to hold me accountable for my steps. And of course, steps are the building blocks for habits. Wherever you step, whatever direction you're taking steps to walk, are steps toward making new habits. And so then he says in verse 5, if I have walked with vanity, or if my foot has hastened to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know my integrity. He's basically saying, I want my integrity to be just as even as God's righteousness. But then he says in verse 7, if my step has turned out of the way. Now notice there it is again. He's talking about the right way, the way of righteousness. But he said it just takes one step. It all starts with one step. When we begin to walk away from the Lord and God's will and God's plan for our lives, for our minds, for our marriages. He said, if my step has turned out of the way and my heart walked after my eyes. Now that's an amazing statement. My heart walked after mine eyes. Because you see, whatever holds your look molds your life. And he said, it's not just what I'm looking at, but my heart walks after what I'm looking at. Then he says, and if any blot hath cleaved to my hands. The word blot there means moral stain. My hands are referring to my actions. And so when the worldly system tells you, man, you can do what you want to do by looking, you know, it doesn't hurt to look. Well, the Bible says it does. Because it starts with my eyes, and then it goes to my heart, and then it goes to my actions. That's a promise from God's word. My heart walks after my eyes. And then it says in verse number 8, then let me sow and let another eat. In other words, everything that I'm doing to try to bring financial success, others are going to profit from it. It's going to be a financial disaster if I become involved in wrong thoughts and wrong actions. Yea, let my offspring be rooted out. It's talking about our children and the children's roots. That's what happens when I begin to think wrong thoughts and become involved in activities with someone else. It even goes on to say, if my heart has been deceived by a woman. Now that word deceived means open-minded naivety. Open-minded naivety. The idea is, oh, this is okay. It's not all that bad. I know I shouldn't be spending time with her. I know that there's an emotional attachment there, but hey, yeah, it's okay. The Bible calls that being deceived by a woman. Or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door. That word laid wait means to ambush. In other words, I'm waiting for my neighbor to leave so I can spend time with his wife. Wow. Then let my wife grind unto another. In other words, once I become involved in sexual immorality, my wife is going to begin to serve and work for others and let others bow down upon her, speaking of sexual intimacy. And if I become involved in wrong thinking and then sexual intimacy, it opens up my spouse to become involved in the same way. It says this is a lewd or heinous crime. Yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges because adultery was punished by the death penalty. He said it's a fire that consumeth to destruction and will root out all mine increase. In other words, all my financial gain is going to be gone. Now, where did it all start? It all started with my eyes. It all started with wandering eyes and then wandering thoughts and not being careful, not putting hedges of love around my own heart and around my own life. Now, at first, these hedges may seem very silly and unnecessary. In fact, anybody that's, you know, not a believer will think that you're a prude. You know, what in the world is wrong with you? But yet, these hedges are important. These decisions that you make concerning keeping your life and your testimony pure. It's not that anybody is necessarily going to question your integrity, but they will. They have the opportunity to do so. You see, because the Bible says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. But don't forget, man does look on the outward appearance. And so consequently, I have to be concerned about what certain things can look like. It might be a blind spot. And thank God if you have friends that will mention to you blind spots that they see in your life. And helping you to understand, you need to have some hedges around your life. You need to have some opportunities to make sure that nothing can take place in your heart and life that would be destructive to your testimony. In my doctoral dissertation, was on pastoral burnout. And sad to say, it included many stories about pastors that needed hedges like this and lived to say how much they regretted it as I did my study. But you have to be careful. That's what the hedges are all about, to make sure that you don't put yourself into a situation where you might be tempted or someone else could do something to speak about you that would hurt your testimony and therefore hurt your ministry and hurt your marriage. I was impressed years ago when I heard that evangelist Billy Graham never went into a motel room before a staff member went in first and checked it out to make sure that there were no potential compromising situations there that might arise. Someone hidden in the closet or in the bathroom that after everybody left could open the door and surprise Billy Graham and be able to say, I was in the motel room with him. He wanted to make sure that could never happen. So someone always went in, checked out everything before he walked into the room. You see, that's a hedge. And so many times we don't think we have need of that. I'm reminded of a true story of a young evangelist, just barely 21, that God was using in an awesome, tremendous way. And he was holding large crusades and was soon invited to speak at an area-wide crusade. So they got all these churches together, and they were doing a tremendous job of having a great attendance. So on the first night of the meeting, numbers of people came forward during the invitation, and a beautiful teenager came and asked if she could speak to him personally after the meeting was over. Well, he tried to assign her to somebody else, but she said, no, I want to speak to you personally. And he said, well, you have to wait till I get done talking to the other folks. And so more than an hour passed, and all the rest of the counselors and counselees had left, and he found himself alone with the girl. A few minutes later, she ran out of the room screaming, he made a pass at me. He wanted to make love to me. Now, that very night, the pastor of the host church and a small group of the crusade planners confronted this young preacher and demanded an explanation, and he denied her charges, but there were no witnesses. And the pastor said, well, what did happen in that room? And he said, if you'll give me the opportunity to face my accuser, I trust that you will find out truly what happened in that room. Hedges. This young man needed hedges. The next time we get together, I'll finish that true story. I'll let you know what happened to his ministry and what happened to his life. I trust that as the Lord speaks to your heart about your home, your marriage, your future, your mind, that you also will recognize I need to establish some hedges in my heart and life that will not only keep me pure, but keep my testimony pure so that my effectiveness for Christ can be long-lasting, and I can finish strong. So join us the next time as we look at the Word for Life.